Hello, and welcome to my oral history interview on July 24th, 2019, with Ken Peterson, who is my wife's grandfather. My name is Brad Hatch, and we will be discussing the subject matter about Ken growing up on the home front during the World War II and about his father's involvement. How are you, Ken?
I'm fine, Brad. Thank you.
Oh, thank you for taking the time to do this for me. Let's go off, rattle off the questions. So, how do you feel during the time of World War II on the home front?
How do I feel?
Yeah, how did you feel at the time?
Oh, how did I feel?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's pretty broad, and I can go from there, you know?
Yeah.
Well, my dad joined the Navy in early part of 1943, and I understand he did that so that he would not, to avoid being drafted into the Army. He thought he'd rather be in the Navy, and at that time, we lived in Payson, Utah, and he was, when Dad was inducted, he was, we all moved to California to be closer to him. When we all, I say, it was me and my mother. I was the oldest child and the only child at that point. So me and my mother moved to Point Montera, California, which was about, I think it's about 30 miles or 40 miles south, I think, of San Francisco. Just above Monterey in that area, north of Monterey.
Okay.
And at that time, the naval base was right there at the Point Montera, on the coast, and we moved into a little town. It was just not a town actually. It was just a group of homes that were above the naval base, and so. We were pretty close to him all of that time that he was in the initial training period. They must have, whenever the trainees had the week off or, you know, the leave, Dad would join Mom and I in our, you know, could come home, and we were just, like I was saying, it was less than a mile, more like a half mile from the base. And our home overlooked the ocean and the base. And Dad had built me a big fruit crate. He'd attached some, made some wings, and I had a little toy machine gun on top of, on the hood of this box.
Yeah.
He made me a little airplane out of this box, a fruit box. And so whenever they had gunnery practice, they were teaching these guys how to shoot the guns.
Oh, wow.
Off the ship. They were going to be on ships. And so they would come by with a plane pulling, it was like a big, it kind of looked solid, but it must have been really light. But it looked like a big board, kind of like a big cardboard thing, big white cardboard thing. Maybe I don't know how long it was, but then they would all shoot at this, and they could see if they hit it or not.
Oh, cool!
And so whenever they did that, I could hear them. I'd hear them shooting out there, and I would. I'd go jump in my plane, and I'd have gunnery practice with them. I got to participate in their gunnery practices. I was pretending I was shooting at the plane as it was going by.
Where's that box that your dad made? Where is it now?
Oh, I don't know. It was, you know, we moved to San Francisco.
Yeah,
and we just left all that stuff there. You know.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Thing I remember a lot about that was mostly the home itself and the surroundings, but as far as the As far as the war, I had that was my first introduction to what was going on. The fog would roll in,
right?
so thick, and I remember there was a radio program called Bulldog Drummond, and as I recall, it was the background of the show was a fog house, a fog horn.
Right.
There was a fog horn that would blow, you know, something like that, and so when the fog would roll in our place, and then the show, you'd hear him walking down the street, you know, you could hear his footsteps, and this thing was going B.O. And so when the fog would roll in, we had a foghorn out there. It would be doing the same thing, you know.
Yeah,
and so
right.
I would get up and walk down. I remember walking down on the wood floors of our house, you know, and I just transported me into this radio program, and that's all I can remember about.
Wow, that. That's so interesting.
Yeah, but after he completed that training, and I think they started, must have been going out, making ship, you know, the
doing
training
maneuvers.
On the base, you
okay.
know, the training on the base, they must have started going out to sea, training with the ship and everything. And that, at that time, we moved to San Francisco. And Dad would, his visits home were less frequent. Mostly it was a dark time, but with, you know, everybody was concerned that it was, you know, we were going to lose the war, and it was much more profound. I didn't realize that until I came back, until we moved to Payson. When Dad finally went out to sea for the long term, he went into the Pacific campaign, and he was gone for a year or so.
Do you remember him leaving?
Yeah, yeah.
Can you explain or remember that day of him shipping off? Or
no, but I remember not specifically that day, but I remember sitting in the home in Payson and looking out looking out the screen door, and Dad had his Navy suit on, and he was waving goodbye, and Mom was crying. But that must have been before we went to California, because we never went back to Payson. He never went back to Utah until the war was over. So, but it was that's the one memory I have of Dad joining the Army and leaving. I mean, Navy and leaving, was him and Mom crying, and he waved. He was out on the front sidewalk, and he waved goodbye. But when we were there, Mom never knew for sure where he was at, when he was going to come back.
Right.
And so she finally got word that he was, you know, that he was going to, he was, they were out.
The Pacific campaign?
Yeah, that was that was probably been 44. And we were, we came back to Payson at that time, to a totally different atmosphere.
Yeah, how was him being away? How was everything back at home in Payson? What were things like in the neighborhood or the stores?
I think the only thing that I remember that I recognized and realized was that the people felt like they were, we had to have coupons or sugar. You had to have so many certain kind of coupons in order to buy certain items.
Mm-hmm.
And there was people were feeling like they were, you know, participating. They were sacrificing things that they couldn't buy cars, they couldn't buy, there are certain items of food, you couldn't buy sugar. I can't remember. I know we had to even have coupons to get ice cream. something seemly, because I remember we didn't get it very often and we had to have coupons to buy it. But people were, people here were more removed.
Removed.
From the war. I could tell, and I was aware at that time that I felt more about the war than they did. It was kind of, they were more just peripherally involved. There were people that had other relatives in there, I'm sure, that I had a cousin that was in there too.
Ken, tell me about, do you remember your dad coming home after the war, or was it still going on, or can you tell me the situation of what, when your dad came back, and how were things then?
Kind of anxiety, you know, they didn't know what to expect from him. When Dad came home, I've never seen my parents any happier, you know, loving or happier ever. Mom was, everything was really good.
Did your father ever talk about the war to you and your brother, or?
Not much.
Not much.
No. He did say one time that it was the only thing, it was the first and maybe the only time in his life where he really felt alive. It was, I think, the heightened danger and excitement of things that he said every all the time was he really felt alive. After that, you know, was, we get mixed up in our general thoughts, but I think they were particularly, you know, during the campaign when they were in the Pacific, it was you never knew what was going to happen that day, and so every minute was I'm just interpreting, I'm just imagining what he meant, but he says he really felt, that was the only time he ever really, really felt alive.
Wow. Wow. Super interesting. Let's see. Is there any artifacts that, or family heirlooms that, from the war, I guess, like from his Navy days, did he bring back anything, or is there any medals, or?
Oh, that's kind of an interesting question, too. He did bring some things back. We had a Japanese rifle with a bayonet on it, a couple of flags, a lot of chopsticks, and there were a number of things that he brought back, you know, along like trinkets, but the thing that was really upsetting to him the most was that he had a Navy bag full, a whole Navy bag. I don't know if you know what they look like, but they're nowadays you could put a, we used a lot of those things to put a, you could put a whole sleeping bag, you know, wrapped, but one of those big old sleeping bags. They used to come, they called them duffel bags, I guess, and they'd carry all of their things on them. And he had one of those that was full of items like that. And while he was on the train with all these other vets, somebody cut a hole in the bottom of his and emptied it all. So most of the things that he was bringing home were stolen by another vet on the train coming home. Was kind of that upset him more than anything, you know, that do that.
But such a weird thing to do, another vet to cut a hole in someone's bag and then steal. his items. Or
well, he presumes it was another vet because the train was, that's what the whole train was full of. It was veterans coming back.
I guess any other closing thoughts, feelings, or thoughts of if you remember the aftermath of the war or how it changed things for your dad or for your family or I guess your perspective on things and
The aftermath of the war was we had an economic boom at that time. Everything you could buy cars and people were getting, unions were strong, people were getting good wages. It probably was one of the high points of our history. And
do you think it still is?
Probably.
Really?
I don't think we have not matched anything like what that was at that time. We'd saved the world. America, United States had saved Europe, saved the world from fascism, the Nazis and the Japs, and it was, everybody else was, we were carrying it. We were carrying the world. And it was a heady time. It was a very heady time. And people were happy. People were happy. It was, there wasn't a, you know, there's a malaise now in our society. That was all gone. Everything was new. Everything was going to be explored. Movies, songs, everything expressed, you know, was like coming out of a dark era where you're leading the world. Our steel mills, people who worked in the Geneva, they were like some of the most well-paid. They were the very well off. They were higher than middle. They were in the middle income, but they were the upper ranges of it. Other people were getting employed. It was a good time. It was a good time.